Hello, my brother or sister in Christ. Thank you so much for those of you that have listened this far into the series. Thank you for those of you who, even though you felt uncomfortable, you wrote and sent me testimonials about how you pushed through, and there you saw the reason why God wanted you to watch this series. If you think this has been uncomfortable for some of you to hear, imagine how uncomfortable it has been for me to have to, number one, live, and then number two, tell. But I have done so in obedience to the Lord. I don't always know why He wants me to do the things He wants me to do. Many times I don't until far after I've done it. But I'm already receiving a good number of testimonials where people have really been spoken to. Many have been rebuked. Many have been brought to tears. Many have been deeply convicted through these messages on what their role and responsibility is as a part of the body of Christ. And so going forward, we're getting more and more towards the end of this series. Maybe there's another half a dozen or dozen so recordings that I'll share, but I want to kind of fill in some point that I think will help make things a lot more clear. First of all, I apologize for the amount of repetition that you're hearing in some of these recordings. I recognize that even as I'm listening to them, I say, wow, Mike, you've said that three or four times now. One of the unique things about this story is that it happens point by point, step by step, over about a 2.5 year period of time that I end up losing Persis to Satan's deceptions. So there's one kind of pain and one kind of story when you lose your spouse overnight to a tragic accident. It's another kind of story when you lose your spouse to something like dementia or Alzheimer's and you see them slowly slip away and out of your grip over a longer period of time. That's two totally different kind of stories. It's two totally different kind of pains. Then I think this is an even third kind of story where I'm having to watch my wife not only slip away from me, but to slip away from God and to slip away from her faith and to slip away from our spiritual unity over a long period of time, which has made this much more excruciating. It seems to me if she would have just come to me one day and said, you know, I'm an atheist, or if she would have come to me and said, I've now converted from this to this, like in a day, that it would have been a shock. It would have been exceedingly painful, but I would have grieved the loss, gone to Father, moved through it, and moved on with His help. But one of the things that's been exceptionally challenging to me in this story, and this explains why I've repeated myself many times, is that I have watched Persis recede from me, changing due to the devil's deceptions and her own participating in falling away. I saw this happen step by step, step by step over a long period of time. And so moving forward from here, I found a few other recordings that I would consider to be very raw, where I'm again pouring out my pain and my frustration. And I did this intentionally, like the one just a few recordings ago where I warned you, hey, this may be a little much for some of you if you can't handle loud talking or great frustration. And I found a few others that are like that, because what I was trying to do was to keep this Christian walk of mine real so that people could see that you can still be a man or woman of God and still have a tremendous amount of suffering and pain, that you can have all of your buttons pushed, that you can be pushed beyond your level of righteousness, and that God does this intentionally to grow you to new levels of righteousness, but that it doesn't all look like you are some kind of a peace-filled saint who's untouchable by all words and knives of men, and that you cannot be touched. That's kind of more of like the long of a Buddhist who's killed off all their desire such that they cannot be touched by any person or anything in this life. I don't see this in the Christian life. I'm not touched by anything in this life as a Christ follower that God doesn't want me to be touched by. But there are many things that I'm touched by that He allows so that it brings about the death of me, ultimately leading to the resurrection of Christ in that area of my life. And so I also see that as part of being a Christian, I'm always going to have certain weaknesses that stay with me that keep me ever humble and ever dependent upon His grace, rather than like somebody like a Buddhist who becomes totally dependent upon their own meditation and their own what Hindus would call self-realization. And I'm going to talk a lot more about this coming forward, okay? Because what my wife ended up slipping into was her own homemade spirituality that really became a hybrid of Buddhism and Hinduism. And I'm going to explain more about both of those because I've learned a lot through this journey when we get to that part of the story. But right now, I want to explain that although I found a lot more recordings that are painful, that are filled with frustrations, where I'm going, man, this is, I'm speechless, man, I can't believe this is happening, I can't believe she did this. What I realize is that that's just kind of exhausting to listen to over and over, and I want to make the point clear, you know, I have suffered a lot. You've known this. I've suffered a lot in this. It's been very painful, and the reason I'm sharing that with you is so you can know that if I've suffered this much and can get through it, you can suffer that much and can get through it. That God can get us through anything if we humbly depend upon Him and receive His grace in these things. But the reason why I had so many recordings, and the reason why there were so many painful things that started happening around the end of 2018 and into this first quarter of 2019 was because Persis began to recede away from me step by step, part by part, now in the physical. First, it happened in the spiritual. So it's like I went through two terrible phases of loss with my wife. In the beginning, she began to recede spiritually away from me. So the first death I had to go through with Persis was dying to the spiritual unity that God had given us in Christ Jesus. The first thing she began to withdraw was prayer. She no longer wanted to join with me in prayer. Then she no longer wanted to read the Bible with me. Then she no longer wanted to make recordings or teachings with me. Then she no longer wanted to share those recordings with me. Then she no longer wanted to have fellowship with me and other people, as an example. So she began to recede from me first spiritually. And then, as you've heard me testify, we had months and months and months and long seasons of wonderful peace where we accepted the fact that we had no spiritual unity, but that we still had peace in our relationship. We could still love one another. If you saw us in Walmart, you would think we're the happiest married couple you've ever met, with purses hanging on me and holding on to me as we go through the grocery store, displaying all kinds of respect and affection for one another. And we learned to not talk about these things that would create division amongst us. So we still had that. But towards the end of 2018, my recordings, I start hearing me talk about, now she has withdrawn this. By the time we get into 2019, she is starting to change so much. She has gone so far into the darkness, into this spirituality, that now she's beginning to disappear from the marriage physically. I've already lost her spiritually, but I've been holding on to, at least I still have physical unity with my wife. I still have a physical connection with her. I still have the affection and the things that husbands and wives share between with them. I can still have some of that physical intimacy with my wife, so I thought. Then she begins to recede from me in the physical, one by one by one. And so what I hear in my recordings is me constantly having to die to something new that I've lost in my wife or in my marriage. And I would find myself trying to explain to Persis, do you have any idea how painful this is for me? You wonder why I'm getting so passionate. I said, but you don't realize that about every 2 weeks, I'm having to die to something else that I used to have in the marriage that now I do not. And I said, I have not changed. You have. I said, please be graceful with me, as every single week, I'm having to die to the loss of something else in this marriage. I said, you just keep receding one by one. And so my recordings have a lot of time spent talking about this latest, greatest frustration. And so what happened was, as Persis began to push more and more into this spirituality, her thinking became so perverted. And I don't mean perverted like normally we think of perversion and we think of sex and we think of pornography and stuff like that. That's not what I mean. Perversion is a twisting of the truth. And making it look like it's good. It's like turning something that's bad and saying it's good. And so this is what started happening is there was all this twisting of Persis's thoughts and of her beliefs that then naturally affected how she now wanted to be in the marriage in certain ways. And so she began to withdraw. And so, for example, One of the things that Buddhism teaches, which I'll talk more about in future recordings, is Buddha, his number one question when he left his rich lifestyle and palace and went out and saw suffering in the streets everywhere, the number one question he went searching for is, why is there so much suffering in the world? And then how can we get rid of it? So he comes up with basically the whole entire foundation of Buddhism is learning to eliminate all suffering in your life by first eliminating all desire. It is a very selfish religion. On the outside, it looks like it's beautiful and wonderful, and it's about helping people get out of suffering and loving and doing good and so forth and so on. But when you see the foundation is so very selfish compared to Christianity, which teaches us to embrace suffering, Buddhism teaches suffering can be eliminated if you eliminate all desire, that all suffering comes from all desire. So the reason why you suffer so bad in your marriage is because you desired the marriage and you desired the love. The reason why you suffer so bad in your sexual desires or sexual frustrations is because you have that desire. The reason why you suffer so much in your career and in your home and in your material life is because you desire the money. So if you just get rid of all these desires, you can eliminate all your suffering. Okay, and this is a very self-focused religion. I mean, it's pretty smart. You can't blame men for wanting to escape suffering, but it's a total perversion of what Jesus Christ taught, that we are to actually participate in his sufferings. And that Romans 8:17 and 18 teaches us that we're not even heirs with Christ unless we participate in the sufferings of Christ. And so our suffering has a good purpose in it, not just to ruin our life and take away all of our fun and sense of comfort in life, but to store up for us an eternal weight of glory that will far exceed all this suffering and to bring us into the character image of Jesus Christ. So suffering has a very good central role in Christianity, whereas in Buddhism, the central purpose of suffering is to escape it. Okay, so part of my wife's spiritual focus is now on this, a hybrid that she's created of Buddhism and Hinduism. Again, I'm going to go into some great detail of things that I have learned by living in India and then walking with my wife through this. I'm going to share some of these insights because I actually want to teach against my wife one day, and I want to teach against all these people who are teaching this stuff. This is a horrible, horrible counterfeit. It's a total deception of the devil. It takes us right back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan's big temptation to Eve is, did God really say not to eat from any fruit in the garden? He first of all perverts it. That's a whole story for another day. But the big temptation here is that God is hiding some information you need, and you can become like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. You can become wise. You can be your own God. You can have your own divinity. You can have your own self-realization, your own higher consciousness. So it's just been painted with different colors now, thousands of years later, but it's the same exact question the devil posed to Eve all those years later, is that you don't need God to get insight and wisdom and information. You can actually go around God and you can actually find the divine within you. It's very self-focused, and all, again, I'll tell a lot more about this later, but what ended up happening is over this few months in the early 2019, I started suffering tremendously as my wife kind of reached a climax in her beliefs, and she began to withdraw more and more and more from me in these ways physically, even to the point where she stopped saying she loved me. She would not send texts to check on me ever. It was like she's not even there anymore. She doesn't care about me. And her love for me literally died. But I had to watch these things happen, where things that used to be completely acceptable, adorable, appreciated in our marriage, loved and enjoyed by both of us, now all of a sudden she wanted nothing to do with that. And it was withdrawn, and to the point where I was just telling her, this is just terribly painful. I'm having to die to you, some part of you or some part of our marriage every week. It's horrific. This gives me a picture of how Jesus feels when perhaps many of us have closed off one door after another into our house and we say to him, no, you cannot go in that room anymore. That's what it felt like with my wife, that one by one, she was closing off rooms in her spiritual heart for me. Nope, you can't go in there anymore. Nope, you can't go in there anymore. And that's how it feels to Jesus Christ. You know, he's the one that sacrificed for us. What a horrible pain that must be for him. It's even more painful than watching your spouse slowly die from cancer. You know, it's a similar type of pain where if you had a spouse who was dying from cancer, you would watch them and perhaps maybe there's some medicine that they're given and then they recover for a short period of time. And you get excited and you have hope. But then the next doctor visit brings bad news and you've taken two steps forward and three steps back. And imagine that process repeating itself over 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And you can imagine the frustration and the pain that both spouses would be going through, in particular the living spouse who was filled with hope for the dying spouse to stay alive. You can die of cancer and still go to heaven. You can die of cancer and actually get a speedy trip into the gates of heaven, into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you will live pain-free, cancer-free, hate-free, sin-free for all of eternity. But you cannot slowly slip into spiritual death and go to heaven. You cannot have spiritual cancer and go have eternal life. That's why there is nothing worse than spiritual death. No kind of sickness on this earth even comes close to comparing to the sickness of the spirit. Jesus said, flesh and blood count for nothing. So what if you lose your life? Yes, it's painful, but you'll lose your life and find it. But you cannot lose your spiritual life and find it. So that's why this has been exceedingly painful for me to watch happen. So this process for me happened over a long period of time, and that will help you understand. But I'm not going to share a lot of those recordings, but I am going to share a few more major ones that will help you hear kind of what it felt like for me, what I was experiencing in this climax of her stepping full-blown into the darkness, falling completely away from the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in her life, and you know how Father was giving me light on it. So that will be the recordings that follow. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name as you listen.